I love it. Come on, if you would just do me a favor, just bow your heads just for a minute. Amen. Just, I think, as we come to a place to realize whom we worship, and honestly come to a place to try to go into an understanding of His love for you. And to know that there's a day that we stand before a God who is holy. Like, honestly, how much time do we spend on dwelling and meditating on God's holiness, that He is holy? Even when we pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You come to a place, even His name, to say His name is holy. It's undefiled. It's pure. It's unstained. And then you come to a place, watch this, we come to a place. When 1 Peter, the Bible says, for you and I to be holy, for He is holy. And understand the very work of the cross, to know the depths of the work of the cross, that Jesus Christ, listen, He shed His innocent, perfect, holy, without stain blood, and took the hit for you and took the hit for me. And in the shedding of His blood, it was the cleansing of our sin. In the shedding of His blood, it was the cleansing of our sins. So there will be a day, watch this, there will be a day for you and I who've trusted in Christ as Lord, who've come to this place to repent and believe, who've understood what it means to be saved. Man, I am born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus has cleansed me and made me white as snow, to know what it is to be holy before a holy God. And it's moments like this we come into His presence. We declare His holiness. But man, I want to do something today in this service that we would come to a place to say, God, I don't want to walk in a place to declare Your holiness, but yet I know sin that is in my life. I know the sin, and everything I think, say, and do, there's sin is attached to it. And I just, watch this, church, we want you to walk in a place to be saved, but we want you to walk in a place to be set free. Set free from sin, set free from bondage, set free from addiction, that you would truly come to this place to say, listen, I want to come and stand before a holy God, knowing that I walked in a place to be holy in my behavior. 1 Peter 1:16 says that you and I, because Jesus Christ was holy, and we understand what He did for us on the cross, that you and I ought to be holy in our behavior, everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do. What happens when you filter that through the eyes of God who is holy? What happens when you look at your life, and even in this moment right here and right now, you come to a place to say, listen, I know that I'm not saved on my good works. I know that I'm not saved on anything that I've done right. I know that I'm saved because of what He's done for me on the cross, based off of His holiness, based off the innocent, perfect blood of Jesus, that I have been declared holy. But watch this, 1 Peter 1 again. 1 Peter 1:16 and 17 declares that as Jesus was holy in His behavior, watch this, after we come to know Christ, we should be holy in our behavior. What happens when you, honestly, when you've opened the door to sin as a Christian, as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, you've opened the door and sin has found its way into your living room, man. It's found your way into your house, man. It's found your way into your thinking. It's found your way into your living. It's found your way into who you are, and you find yourself in a place. See, God, I want to walk in a place to not be okay with my sin. I want to be in that place. I want to be in that place to say, God, I don't want to be okay with my sin. I don't want that. I want to walk in a place to know that I need to filter my life through the holiness of God. And walk in a place to know and believe that by the blood of Christ I have been cleansed. But in my behavior, I need to walk in holiness. And if you're in this place this morning with your heads bowed, man, I want to come to a place. I just want to pray for you. I pray for all of us in this place. This isn't particular or specific. This is in a place that you and I, all of us in this house who know Christ as Lord and Savior, will come to a place saying, I'm done being okay with sin. If I'm called to love Jesus, listen, Jesus says, love me back. And those who love me will obey my commandments. I'm done. I'm done being okay with sin. I'm going to hate sin in my life because I stand before a holy God and I'm called. I'm called to be holy in my behavior and in my conduct. And in this moment right now, as I have declared the holiness of God, I will walk in a place to say, I'm done. I'm done with this behavior of sin. I'm done being complacent in my sin. I'm done being okay with sin in my life. It's never okay to be okay with sin when you understand the holiness of God. Man, and if you are willing, man, if you are comfortable, I want to do this. I want to put a posture before the Lord here, right now in His presence, that we put our posture before Him, one that would just acknowledge and bless His name. If you would, please, man, if you're comfortable, would you just raise your hands towards heaven? And just raise your hands towards Him and to know, God, in this moment, I acknowledge that You are holy. You are unstained. And Jesus, You have called me in my behavior to know who I am. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what You've said. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. And You've called us to holy behavior. Man, if there's any sin, we want to walk out of this place set free today. We walk out of this place acknowledging sin today to say, I want to be free. Man, I want to be free. I want to walk in a place to be forgiven. Listen, the Bible says, confess your sins and He is faithful and He is just to forgive you of all your unrighteousness and cleanse you from all your sin. It's amazing and such a beautiful picture of God's continuous love towards you and I as we walk into place in this house, Lord, we acknowledge that You are holy, and we're asking that in our behavior, Father, if there's sin in our life, we come to a place to say no more. It's time to admit. It's time to be done with sin. It's time to not play around with sin. It's time to see Your word and walk in obedience to it and what we think and what we say and what we do, and that our choices and our words and our thoughts would reflect us who belong to the holiness of our God. You are amazing. And in this moment, we acknowledge that You are holy. But in doing this, watch. That reveals something with our own spirit. And it reveals something in our own soul. As we acknowledge Your holiness, that You are holy. That You are holy. Let it do something in our souls. That we'd walk in a manner of forgiveness, and we walk in a manner to not play with sin. As we stand here today, acknowledge that You are holy. Brennan, come on, man. Let's just sing something here. We just come to a place as a church to acknowledge that God is holy. But don't say that lightly.
Yes.
Don't say it lightly. Don't play games with it. Honestly, man, we come to a place to say, God, You're holy. And we won't walk in a place to understand that You've called us to that place of holiness. That's so good. No longer will we play around with sin. Come on, let's sing.
Just sing holy. 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 Are You, for You are holy, holy are You, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, sing it again, for You are
time, just the voices, let's sing that out.
Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, for you are holy.
Oh Lord, we love you. We're amazed. We're amazed that by the work of the cross, we're just even allowed in your presence. It's amazing. We thank you for moments like this. We thank you for just a moment right now that there is change. As we stand in your presence, we have declared your holiness. And we don't take that lightly. That we will walk in a place and filter every decision that we make, and we filter everything that we think, and we filter every word that we speak through the filter of your holiness. And let that bring great change and great growth in our lives in Jesus' name. Come on, BC, amen? Amen. So good, amen. Hallelujah. You may have a seat. Come on, if you're new to Believer's Chapel, this is your first day, man, we are pumped that you are with us, man. Come on, we are doing something special last week, and then we are going to conclude it this week where we are promoting our LC groups, our Living Connected groups. And the reality is this. I got my man Matt Kolb here, and Matt and Lori have been a part of BC for about 7.5 years. Matt has been on staff here at BC for a little over a year now. We're pumped about him being on staff, and we're excited about what he has brought in his, he's got personality plus, man. If you know Matt, you love Matt. He's got personality that goes to the moon and back. And he does so many things. He connects to so many people. It's so true. And I've asked him this. This is what I've asked him. I said, dude, I need you to pray about something, because there's a big part of this ministry, Believer's Chapel, that needs some oversight. It needs to get to a place where we think it needs to be. If we are a church that is 1,000 strong, and we have only a few LC groups, Living Connected groups, we need to up our game, because it's so important. It's so important to be discipled. It's so important to grow. It's so important to be a part of a smaller group when you're a part of such a big group. It's so important to understand what that looks like, to be, as we talked about last week, to be connected, to be committed, and to be in a community, to be connected, to be in a community, and to be committed to a group. And watch what God does at the end of a year in your spiritual growth. It's powerful. And I've asked Matt, I said, Matt, I need you to pray about this. And I'm asking that you and Lori, it takes his wife, that you guys would really pray about this. I want to rearrange you on staff. I want to put you in a different place in ministry, in a sense of overseeing all of these LC groups, the leaders of these LC groups, what these LC groups are going to contain. And just, it's going to take some time. And honestly, I need it to be someone who can take this thing to levels like we have never seen it. And we're getting to levels like we have never seen in our LC groups, and I'm excited about it. So I don't want to take much more time on this, but I just want to acknowledge Matt and that he has accepted this, and he's got a word for us this morning on this, on the importance of this and why to be a part of this. And he's got a great word. Please hear it. And what this has meant for him personally, being a part of LC groups. What has it done for him and his family, in a sense of testimony of what that has done for so many. And he speaks for so many in a sense of testimony on what LC groups do to families. Come on, Matt. I love you, brother. Give me some love. You're on, baby. Come on. Get it.
I don't know if you knew this. I don't know if you knew this or not. This might be the first time I've noticed it. I'm taller than you.
That's the first time I've ever noticed that.
Okay, stand right
now. Most people are not.
Look at the stage.
I know. See that?
I can put my head on top.
You could kiss my head.
It's
that
amazing.
Would be amazing.
It's amazing. I never knew that. I never knew that you and I had a height difference.
Very few people are taller than me. Very few people are taller than me.
I mean, same arm size.
Me and Clock are about the same.
Just it's amazing. Different height.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Sean. I do have the best boss on the planet. We have the best pastor on the planet. Can we give him a round of applause in that? He's telling the truth when he says he approached me some time back and just said, hey, I really see this as something you could take on. I see this as something you could just sink your teeth into, but it's going to take some commitment from you. It's going to take some schedule changing from you. Obviously you're going to be having your own group, your own Living Connected group in your own house. That's going to take a commitment from your wife. Renee, you can appreciate that. Even having started BC in their home 10 years ago, what that means as a wife, as a homemaker, to bring people into your house and prepare and what that looks like. He's going to schedule change. You're going to be going to other leaders' homes periodically. He's like, but but I want you to go home and pray about it. And I'm serious about that. And here's what's funny. I wonder what that would be like in our own lives if we all had bosses or supervisors who said just that. Like, hey, I see, you know, I've got this great project for you. I think you'd be great at it. This is how I see you excelling in this, but I want you to go home and pray about it. And how amazing that would be to have that in our own lives. The truth is, I don't know what would happen if I would have come back and told Sean no. Like, you know what, dude, I'm out. Like, listen, I'm out. I'm good. But honestly, Sean knew that wasn't going to happen. He knew that wasn't going to happen. And I'm going to share some things with you guys in my own personal time, my wife and myself and my daughters and our personal time with our Living Connected groups, our LC groups. But first, the best tech team on the planet, if you guys, we're going to go to a couple places in Scripture today. We're going to go to Acts 8. And we're going to go to Matthew 25. You guys can certainly get there in your Bibles. Just mark it for now. We'll get there here shortly. We are going to, of course, bring up our Living Connected leaders and their wives here at the end of the service and pray over them and introduce you to them. And we're going to talk about what it looks like to sign up and what that looks like. Great response in our first service. 9 o'clock, blown away by the response we had from people who are excited about Living Connected groups, who are excited about getting plugged in, people who have been part of groups. We can't wait to get back together. As you guys all know, it's March 13th, which was my birthday, ironically enough, was kind of that Friday. We all remember that Friday where it was like, oh, okay, this thing's happening. We don't know what to expect. We're going to take a little 14-day break. Let's get everybody healthy. Let's get everybody quarantined. We're going to come back, be normal. That was March 13th, right? And you think about, even as a church, what we've endured, what we've gone through, again, best tech team on the planet, and how we've navigated that. But our Living Connected groups, which is a heartbeat of this church, a heartbeat in terms of his ministry, was really difficult in terms of that ministry not being able to get together. Those people who were isolated, who didn't have extended family, who didn't have extended friends, who counted on that Living Connected group, that was really difficult. And we're going to talk about today a few things. But first, let's pray. God, thank you for today. God, I do thank you for each and every person who's here today. God, I pray, and we know that your word is alive and powerful, and I pray that there are ears to hear your word today, God, that this would penetrate each person who's here, that they would understand the importance of being connected to one another as believers, be connected to each other in a community, and what it really looks like, God, to be believers, to be connected, to be in a community, to love one another, and what that means, God, to you, as we're instructed to. So God, we pray for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Sean preached on this topic, and although this is a conclusion to the Living Connected ministry in terms of the series, so to speak, this is just the beginning, right? This is just the beginning of what it's going to look like for this ministry to really kick off and really, really start to grow and really get some steam behind it, as we've already seen even in the last couple of hours that people have signed up. But Sean talked on last week, and he asked two important questions, or at least he asked you to ask yourself two important questions. And I love this, because I was even sitting by a young couple last week, and I even saw their reaction to this when Sean said, when it comes to people in your life, you have to ask yourself, do they care about me, and can they be trusted? Do I trust you, right? And do they care about me? And I saw this amazing couple in the back. It was a great interaction because they both looked at each other. Like, they kind of nodded at each other. Like, maybe this week they've had some time to reflect on people that are in their lives. And ask yourself that serious question about your entire sphere of influence, your peers, the people you're with. We also talked about the importance of being connected to one another, the importance of being in a community, and the importance of being committed to something, both in this sense, both as leaders, being committed to their groups, which you're going to meet some great leaders, but also as you being committed to your group. Before we get into a couple passages here, I want to talk about really three things that I feel that can be identified with what to expect as you get plugged in to your LC group, to your Living Connected group. And the first is this. The first is support. Now, maybe some of you guys have heard my testimony in terms of my wife and myself and our three teenage daughters, now teenagers. We lived in Colorado. We met out there. We lived in Colorado until 2013. We moved to Western New York and loved Colorado. Still have very fond memories of there. Still have great friends there. Love the state. Love mountains. Skied, hiked, backpacked, fly fish, you name it. We loved the state. But our last 2, 3, 4 years in Colorado did not go as planned. We were heavily invested in real estate, had three houses at the time of the crash, so to speak, in 2009, 2010. Owned a business which was based in real estate, and so we took a huge hit. In fact, we lost everything. We lost everything. You guys may even remember that to get here, we had a moving truck parked in our driveway, and I had to sell a very expensive bike that I owned just to pay the driver to get our belongings to Western New York. But we showed up here in July of 2013, beautiful time of year to arrive in New York. But within a few months, we realized something about New York, and that is that it gets cold here. Now, my wife grew up in Western New York, so she prepared me for it, but I wasn't prepared for it. Within that same period of time, of course, we got plugged into an amazing church known as Believer's Chapel at the time, and still is, on the 5 Mile, on the West 5 Mile Road. And within just a few weeks, we're introduced into home groups, living connected groups. And within a few weeks, we're introduced into the importance of being connected in a community of believers and how people would just welcome us into their homes, arms all, prayers included, and just welcome us. And we had never felt that before. So it was important for us. But I will tell you that in the first few months we were here, we went through a number of trials. Now, as I was really kind of praying over this ministry and taking this over, I found one of many. I'm a journal keeper. I encourage anyone who's not to pick it up as a new thing to do, to keep a journal. If it's not a daily record of things going on, a weekly record at best. Because I was able to go back and I was able to find a journal my wife had given me within a couple weeks of us moving here from 2013 through 2016. This journal essentially is a great milestone marker for our lives coming to New York and being part of a Living Connected group. So what this was this is a journal I would take with me to our home groups. At the time, we were part of Lenny and Ginny and Jarrett and Lori's home group, and then moved to Adam Kemp and Jamie Kemp's home group, moved around. But this book is full of amazing prayers, amazing milestones, and it was an amazing time to reflect. I was reminded of the fact that Lenny and Ginny Obergfeld always traveled. So we were always in their home, but ironically, they were never there. So we were either praying for them on an upcoming trip, or we were praying for them for a safe return. We were always praying for Lenny and Ginny either to go safely or come home safely. It was great to look through there and see small children now, but yet that weren't born yet. You know, I found a prayer request for Brennan and Teresa Miller. Of course, mostly for Teresa Miller and a safe pregnancy, but Brennan was included. But to see the birth of Skye now and to see her now in the castle running around, her personality, her vibrant personality, but to just have found that as a prayer request. I found another one for a really young girl at the time and an amazing family in our church known as the Bacons. And there was a prayer request in there. I can't believe I'm getting emotional about it, but there's a prayer request in there that this girl is going to try and do her first backflip on skis. You want to know where Bella Bacon is today? She's living in Sun Valley, Idaho? Park City, Idaho. She's living in Park City, Idaho, and she just happens to be on the Junior Olympic team. And this girl does backflips like when she gets out of bed. She flosses her teeth in backflips. It's amazing. We found a prayer request in here. Our church had certainly outgrown its space. And so we were at a point where we had to come to a time in prayer and say, all right, we're either going to expand at BC West or we should maybe look at doing another building. At the time, we kind of really just said, no, we're going to expand. And then along came this building for sale on Constitution Avenue. And there's a prayer request in there, months of them, about just praying for Believer's Chapel finances and that the leaders would make strong decisions and that we would find our future home. If it wasn't for BC West, it was going to be somewhere else. And now you just have to look around. For us personally, it was a challenging time, as I mentioned, and we were introduced to fuel oil. I had never heard of fuel oil until I moved here, but we found out what it's like to, if you remember 2013, 2014, it never got above minus 15 for like the whole winter. And we went from spending $80 a month in heat in Colorado, where the sun shines, to spending $600 a month on fuel oil in Western New York. And that was like, that broke us. But within a few months of that being a prayer request in terms of our finances and jobs, Brock and Leanne Miller showed up to my house one day with a tractor and a bunch of chainsaws, and they cut down every hemlock tree around my house to let sunlight come in so that our heating bills would go down. And they didn't want any money for it. We had a house that was still for sale in Colorado, and if you guys know this, you know what it's like to have a house for sale, whether it's in your current city or in another state, and it's an albatross, it's just hanging around your neck, and you can't get rid of this home, and it's keeping you from doing anything where we are. We could not buy a house. We couldn't put gas in our car, pretty much, because we hadn't sold this property, and it was a huge burden. Months and months and months of prayer requests in here for Kolb Homes, Kolb Homes, Kolb Homes to sell, Kolb Homes to sell. Believe it or not, I was in Lenny and Jenny's living room during prayer requests when a 303 area code came up on my phone, which is Denver, Colorado, and it was our realtor calling to tell us that we had just gotten an offer. We're closing in 6 weeks. That happened in an LC group. So the importance of home groups and the importance of being in a community and the importance of being connected to one another, I cannot understate based on my own testimony and my family. But please know this, that when we talk about LC groups and we talk about what support looks like, it's real. The next thing I want to talk about is what it looks like to seek. So we've talked about support, right? We know what that looks like. Now we want to talk about what does it look like to seek? Seek what? I love this song. We just played and I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Like, what do we seek? What are we looking for? What are we searching for? Are we searching for fame? Are we searching for money? Are we searching for status? What are we searching for? Well, when you think about a living connected group, like, we're seeking God in our lives, and we should be each and every day. And I mentioned a couple scripture points that I want to go to, but the first is in Acts. And I love this. Acts 8, we're going to look at verses 26 through 38 and just give you a quick little backstory. But this is Philip, some VIPs here. This is Philip, this is Peter, this is John. They're traveling through Samaritan villages, and they're preaching the gospel, the good news. They're preaching. And all of a sudden, this starts off in verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah, just to be specific, Isaiah 53:7. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And when Philip had run, note the word run, up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he responded, and he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Now, there's some important things, and actually, it's a great story. I love this moment, because you've got this eunuch, right? He could be considered somebody who should be proud. He's got this big responsibility. He's in charge of all these treasures for the Ethiopian queen, Candace, right? He's riding in his chariot. He's coming back from Jerusalem, probably passing a few people. Could just be like, "Hey, look at me." But he finds himself, and this is what I want us to think about when we think about seeking God and through our Living Connected groups. He finds himself what? One, he's in the Word, right? Two, does he seem proud to you towards Philip? When Philip runs, by the way, Philip's instructed by, go up to that chariot, and he doesn't just walk up or kind of mosey up, he runs. Does he seem proud? Not at all. In fact, he invites him to come up. And he even is encouraged to say, "How can I unless someone counsels me in this? How can someone, unless somebody reads this for me and points me to what it's talking about? Who is this talking to?" And he invites him up into his chariot. And I think about that in terms of our own selves as we get connected, as we're part of a community, to see the support that's around one another, see the support you have from people who love you and who care about you, but also what it looks like to seek God through our Living Connected groups. Now, in a couple of minutes, I do want to bring up our leaders, but the third point that I want to talk about today, in addition to what it looks like for support and what it looks like to seek, and the third is this, and that is to serve. Now, I can tell you that myself, being part of a Living Connected group, I saw amazing servants. And of course, we can look at servants within our home groups themselves and say, okay, well, yeah, we're serving one another. We've got the best coffee on the planet. Of course, every home group will have Bolivian Dark, so nobody worry, right? The best coffee on the planet will be there. But, you know, serving treats and appetizers and sometimes, yes, dinner if you're part of the Brundages or whatever that looks like. But what it really looks like to be a true servant. And this is honestly one of the things that spoke to me the most when I looked at what it looked like to take on this ministry and take it to the next level, really look at other churches, how they do Living Connected, how they do LC groups, and what it looks like. And for me, serving was one of the biggest things that spoke to me in our potential and our responsibility, get that, our responsibility as believers. So if you're with me and we're in Matthew 25, we're going to start in 35. We're only going to go to 40, but some, again, backstory here. These are letters in red. If your Bible doesn't have them in red, they should be, but they're in red. Why? Because Jesus is speaking these words, which means they're really important. And this talks about the judgment. He's actually talking about himself coming back and what's going to happen when he comes back. So the backstory is he's got the sheep on one side and he's got the goats on the other. You want to be a sheep. and you want to be on his right side. But if you start at verse 35, it says this, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king, that's Jesus, will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And if you are in your Bible, or if you're reading along, go one more verse, verse 31, which says, "Then he will also say to those on his left," those are the goats, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." What's he talking about? He's talking about serving. Who? Others, which in light is serving him. And so at this time, I do want to invite our home group leaders, our LC leaders, if they could start to make their way on stage. And as they come up here, I want to continue to really talk about what this could look like as living connected, as home groups, as LC groups, to really be servants, not just to each other, not just to their immediate families, which is amazing, or their immediate circle of friends, which is amazing, but really in our community, in this region. We're called to reach out to the broken, the lost, the hurting, those who need repairs on their vehicles, those who need repairs on their house.
Cover James.
What's that?
Cover James, too.
I do want to cover James, too.
This was so good.
This was, and I had pulled this out. I did not get to this first service, but I do want to cover James 2. In fact, I went, if you guys could put that up for me, I went to James 2, and I went back to verse 14, and 14 through 18, and I do want to read this, because it's based on faith and it's based on works, and it's this, verse 14. "What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith with works.'" Now, I got to tell you guys, I got in trouble for service because you guys can't see it, but you're all standing in darkness. So I have the best tech team on the planet, and Paige, I love you, even though you're a Packers fan, came down to me and she said, "Hey, could you just have all them come to the front?" So as much as you may not want to, you're going to have to like right here, because we want everybody not just here today, but also who's at home today, who's watching online, to be able to see all of your beautiful faces. So what I would love to do is, first of all, can we give our leaders and their wives a round of applause? I say give the leaders a round of applause, and Sean kisses Renee. Like, give them a round of applause and make out with your wife if you want to. It's amazing. It's perfect. Thank you, Sean. So, pray for you, Renee. And we'll continue to pray for you. But seriously, we do want to take this time to introduce our leaders. We want to take this time to talk about them as the day of the week that they're going to meet in, the location that they're in. We want to take this time to talk about the amazing app that we have created, that we have partnered with in order to get you guys plugged in. And then I want to talk to you guys, we'll finish with two questions that I want you guys to expect each week as you guys go about home groups. Now, it might be safe to say that normally I would start on this end because Sean and Renee are down here, but my beautiful bride is over here. So we're going to talk about the best home group in Allegheny right now, which is Matt and Lori Kolb's house on the West 5 Mile. But seriously, it's amazing to be able to share this time with her, because a lot of this, in terms of our commitment to this ministry, was based on my wife and her acceptance of this and her willingness. As I mentioned, Renee understands full well, as do some of these ladies up here, what it means to prepare your house for people coming into your home and keeping it safe for children and having the right setup. You know, like, yeah, if it's lawn furniture in your living room, great. But still, keeping it, making it a nice, warm, inviting place. So, Lori, my wife, we are excited to lead on Wednesday nights. We will be leading in the Allegheny area. So, certainly go online. Feel free to click on Matt and Lori. The next, you guys got out of line, by the way. You guys changed the line. This is a true test. They, like, reverse themselves. Sam and Katie Martin, amazing servants, currently have led a home group in Bradford. Amazing host home with the right family, but they have led a home group in Bradford, super successful, amazing servants. In fact, we were bragging about them last week at our staff meeting because we were talking about our volunteers and the amazing volunteers we have in the kids' room. And Melissa said, "Katie and Sam are some of our best volunteers because the kids love them. Their instruction ability, their ability to adapt to kids, it's amazing. And so we are excited for Sam and for Katie to continue to lead a Living Connected group in Bradford. And we're excited about that. So I appreciate you guys serving, and thank you for what you do. I was just mentioning being servants, and the two people that you see standing here next, Dave and Don Schwartz, when I think of being servants in Believer's Chapel, honestly, these two come to mind almost immediately, because we have a joke that, you know, you guys know, where's Waldo? Well, we call it, where's Schwartzo? Because Dave has this amazing ability to help every single person on the planet. He's so good at everything he does, super skilled, and he has so many talents, and he is always willing and able to drop whatever he's doing, sacrifice his own time, and be in other people's homes doing repairs, whatever that looks like. Dawn, man, when we have our VBS, or when she's serving in the Kingdom Kids room, she is all in. She is a great artist. She's a great leader. She's great in instruction. She knows how to tell Dave what to do, which is amazing. Like, when you see him in VBS, it's amazing. He's just like, okay, Dawn. Like, it's just, it's amazing. Like, I love it. How long have you guys been married, Dave? Yes, I got him to pause.
Yes!
I got him to pause. Yes! Did you see it? Did you see his face turn red? You saw it, didn't you? Don, how long have you guys been married? 22 years. And actually, their marriage goes way beyond their friendship before that. So they have two amazing kids who are now almost grown up. Abby is still in college, but they have two amazing kids. And these guys are amazing servants. So we're excited for them. They're going to lead on Tuesday nights, and they are in the Olean area as well. So next we have the Clock family. We have Chris and Cheryl Clock, who are going to be leading in Portville. Chris, of course, is a deacon at Believer's Chapel. Cheryl Clock is a teacher at Portville. These guys are, again, amazing servants in the church. In fact, they lead our kind of our first timers, our welcoming new ministry. In fact, they have their own office now in the church. Sean, do you have an office at Believer's Chapel?
I don't have an office, but Chris Clock and Cheryl Clock have an office.
They have an office. They have a couch in their office.
They have a
office.
Place to go.
They have a couch. They have artwork. They have like a table. They have chairs. Like, so apparently the clocks are a pretty big deal, but we love.
Oh, by the way, they got new table and new chairs coming.
Yeah, I know. You get the old stuff. You get that.
It's unbelievable.
But we love Chris and Cheryl. In fact, when they said yes to leading a group, we were so excited. And they are in the Portville area, and they are so excited to be leaders and to welcome you into their home. And we can't wait for how that group responds and what that group looks like. I think we're going to have some good competitions coming out of that. Gordon and Sally Scott have been with part of BC for so long now. Gordon takes care of our facilities. He's amazing at taking care of our grounds, serves as a guardian. Sally is amazing in terms of her teaching ability and what she does in the children's ministry. And man, we are so excited. They're actually going to lead a group out of BC West as kind of their host home, so to speak, at BC West, which will be amazing, by the way. The kids get all of that fun stuff over there and all the rooms, and that's going to be great. But they're going to lead that on Tuesday night, so it's right here in Allegheny, right there in Allegheny, I should say. And I know the Scots are excited to lead. And then, of course, next we have Jim and Ginger Haley. And these guys are from Napoli. If you guys don't know where Napoli is, most people don't. So just look it up on a map. It's somewhere near here. But seriously, people who are in Salamanca, people who are in Ellicottville, people who are in Little Valley, people who are in Randolph, this is going to be a great opportunity for you guys. And these guys are amazing servants. True story. When we first bought this building, these guys loved BC so much, and still do, of course, that they took all the trim in this whole church, put it on a giant truck. He drives big trucks and big cars, took it to their house, and they had repeated date nights where they would go out and just spray all of our stuff black, right? All of our trim, all of our doors, and they would send us pictures covered in paint saying, we love BC, we love our date nights. But Ginger may not know this. I'm about ready to spill something. I was talking to him after first service, Jim Haley, and he said, you know what, Matt? We're thinking about doing ours at 4:30 a.m. And I was like, have you talked to your wife about the timing of your home group? True story, he used to lead a small men's ministry at his home, at his shop, an amazing auto guy. And he used to have a ministry at 4:30 a.m., and he had 78 guys every week who would show up. But don't worry, you will not be at their house at 4:30 in the morning. Ginger, I save you there. Because he wanted it, and I was like, no way, I can't do it. Josh and Bridget Drum are with us, and we're so glad that they're accepting a position to lead a home group out of Cuba. So really, anywhere, honestly, from Cuba, we're looking for people as far as Rochester to come to their house. That's what we're talking about here. We've told them they pretty much have the East Coast. So if you are in New York City, right, or you in Rochester or Philadelphia, you know, what, Scranton, right, we're going to have you go to Josh and Bridget Drum's house. But true story, they served at a church in Chicago, and we're part of Living Connected groups there, part of that ministry, part of growing those ministries and going through different transitions. And these guys bring a ton to Believer's Chapel. So we're so excited for them to lead out of Cuba, have a beautiful home. They got firsthand knowledge last year. It was what I experienced, what winter in Western New York looks like, and the value of firewood, and the value of not cutting firewood in January. Like, those are all good things to not have to worry about, right, Gordon? You know. Last but not least, guys, these guys have been leading a home group for so long. In fact, so much of what's in this book for me was amazing because I had the privilege of being under Jared Dome and Lori Dome's leadership. And these guys are amazing. They are obviously with Lenny and Jenny. Most of you guys know that in their home, but do a fantastic job. And it's just an unbelievable thing to look back and see how much I love Jared. He is a board member here at BC, an amazing servant, has been part of BC almost since the beginning. Close to 9 years now they've been part of BC. And just does an amazing job with everything he does, but certainly leading home groups. He has some fan favorites. And I know he always says his address when he introduces himself. We're not going to have him do that today. But they are in Olean, and they are going to meet. Actually, you guys are in Allegheny. Allegheny. Allegheny, Olean. Allegheny. And you guys are on Wednesday nights, right? And so everybody's excited about Lenny and Ginny and Jarrett and Lori Domes. And then certainly, I said these guys are last, but we have another home group leader. You guys know Bill and Jen Lewis. Most of you guys know. They've been home group leaders for a long time. They were going to be in the Adirondacks this weekend, climbing Mount Marcy, which is the tallest peak in the Adirondacks, right? And I gave them one job. I'm like, all right, you guys are going to go to the Adirondacks. It's a 7.5-hour drive. You're going to hike Mount Marcy, which is 7-8 hours to get to the top, right? Just do me a favor. Can you guys take your Living Connected shirts and put them on and take a picture? It'd be amazing. Send it. They took the wrong shirts. Like, so if you guys want to be part of Forgetful People's ministry, they don't even know what to wear when you show up to their house. They're going to be in their pajamas or something. You're going to get there. But seriously, we love Bill and Jen Lewis. We're so excited for them to be back with us. And we are so excited about that. Two things I want to just make this quick point, and then I want to have Sean and Renee close us out with prayer. But I want you guys to be aware of a couple of things. And there's, I know last week Sean mentioned, can I trust you and do you care about me? Those are two questions that I know he asks himself continuously about people in his life. And there's two questions that as we were doing some research on Living Connected groups and different ministries, two questions that really spoke to me that I'm counting on our leaders to really impart on their group members. And one is this, how was your week? That's pretty simple, right? How was your week? Which can be great. Oh, it was a great week. Had a great week at work. Things are great. Went on a date with my wife. The Steelers won the Super Bowl again. It was an amazing week, right? Or maybe it wasn't a good week. Finances, health report, whatever that might look like. But you have people who support you and who care about you, who are connected to you, and they care. And they want to hear about your week. The second one is this, and this may not be so easy to answer, but I hope it gets easier for you. And that is, how was your walk? And when you ask people that question, imagine being in Walmart, seeing a friend, you haven't seen her in 6 months or him in 6 months. Hey, how was your week? Oh, it was great. How was your walk? I'm imagining most people would kind of just stop in their tracks and say, I don't know how to answer that question. Well, not only do I want our leaders to be asking that question to their LC groups, but I want our LC group members to be able to answer it. And I talked about keeping a journal. I talked about being able to really be accountable to yourself and to your leaders about time in the Word and time in prayer and supporting one another and serving one another. And those are all important things. The last thing is I want to do this, and Sean and Renee will come up here. We have an amazing Planning Center app, Church Center app. So many of you guys use this app for giving. Thank you for giving generously and faithfully. But we also have the ability to use this app to connect to our Living Connected group. So we've set this up. We've already pre-loaded everybody's addresses and everybody's homes. And so we have right now the ability where these are open. And you have the ability right now to go on or after service or go home and pray about it. And within a week's time or whatever that looks like to go online and sign up for a group. Might be based on personality. It might be based on location. Know this. And we had a lot of questions about this in the first service. What about childcare? Listen, childcare is a big deal. We want every home to have childcare so that you as parents can take time in the Word and time sharing and time supporting each other. So we as a church are coordinating childcare at each one of these homes or at BC West, whatever that looks like, to take care of your children because your children are very important to us. And we want you to be able to trust us with your children. But please know that this is an amazing app. Church Center app is unbelievable. We use it for so many things as a church, and I know you guys do it too. But please know that this will be up. This is now active. This is something you can sign up for. We do expect our groups to fill up quickly. So one thing to mention is if you get to a group and you're like, I really want to be part of that group, but it's full. Do me a favor. Reach out to me. Reach out to me. Because here's the thing. We don't want one person in this room or watching online right now to not be able to get plugged into a Living Connected group. We want you to be part of that. Mm-hmm. So just know that whatever we have to do to make something work, we're going to do that. We expect more leaders in the near future. We expect more groups in the near future. We're excited about this ministry continuing to grow, and we want you guys to be a big part of that. So Sean, Renee, I mean, this is amazing because you guys started Believers Chapel essentially as a home group in your home.
Amazing.
I mean, you guys did. You guys said, we're going to start a church. We're not going to spend the money renting a building, buying a building. We're going to have a home group. We're going to call it Believers Chapel.
Awesome.
And so you guys know the importance of what this looks like. And I would just love to hear your heart. And if you would close us in prayer over our great leaders.
Dude, thank you, Matt. Awesome. Obviously, when you look up here, you see husbands and wives that have been hand-selected and hand-picked because the leadership of Believers Chapel trusts them. And watch this. And I mean this because, and I hope every pastor can say this. This is my heart. I really do believe that we have the greatest people on the planet that attend this church. And a part of one of the goals of our whole mission goal is that when you come to Believers Chapel, at any season, you come to a place to say, man, my faith grew when I was at Believers Chapel. Like my faith grew. I grew closer to Jesus. I got connected to people. Man, I had a deeper understanding of the Bible. Man, I walked in a place of repentance. Like I grew in Christ. And a huge piece to that is discipleship. And a huge piece to that is to be connected to a smaller group. This is a church about 1,000 strong, right? Including pregnant women. It's amazing. We count it. Like babies are of God and we count pregnant women as two. It's amazing. So, but any church this size is tough to sometimes get connected. And this is what we know, is when you are connected to a church, you stay and you grow. And we want you to get connected to a smaller group in a large church that you go over the message, you continue to go over the message, you get fed the word the week before, and you dive into it, you ask questions, you go deeper, and your faith begins to grow. Could you imagine where you're going to be in your marriage? If you're single, where you're going to be being single after a year of being connected to a small group where you have that support system, where you're seeking the Lord and going deeper, and you walk in a place to serve as a group, where by your group, you're out doing things just as a group of particular projects of serving. Where do you think your faith is going to be as a husband and wife, as one who is single, as a teenager, college student, whatever that looks like, wherever you're at in this season of life? But when you connect to a group, and this is the deal, we've asked every single one of these groups on purpose to lead. Why? Because we trust these groups. So much so that we trust these groups with the greatest people on the planet. And that speaks volumes to who I believe they are, and that you can come to a place to say, can I trust them? Because this is what's going to happen. When Matt talks about support, a support group, when Matt talks about seeking the Lord together, and when we talk about what it means to be connected and committed in a community, what that really looks like, to make this thing a priority, then there's going to be a moment, and just as Matt shared with the eunuch and Philip, where the Philip was invited into the chariot. And this is what's going to happen, is our leaders whom we trust, we're believing that you're going to trust. I can't trust them for you. I trust them because I know them. But when you get to know them, you're going to trust them, and there's going to be a moment that you actually invite them into your boat. When you walk in that place to trust these leaders, you will invite them into your boat saying, hey, this is a very real issue, and I don't want to share this with anybody but you, and I'm asking that you would pray about this. This is what's come up, and I need some help in this because I'm struggling. This is what's going on. I want, out of the most people on the planet, when you come to a place, when you have invited people into your boat, when there are something to celebrate, those are the ones you want to celebrate with most. It's hard to celebrate with 1,000 people, but when you're in a LC group and something amazing has happened in your life, you come and there's just a celebration and it's incredible. And these are the people that you really are doing life with. It's that important, man. It's huge. It's huge. And I'm excited about our groups filling up. I'm excited. If they are all filled up, we will make room for more. We have a couple other leaders on the hook that we're praying through and looking at and watching. And I'm excited about some great things ahead. So please, there will be room for you. If for some reason, all of the groups, if there's some groups that are filled, but there's other groups that are not, plug in to those groups. It's filling up quick. But if they get to a point where they're all filled. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you guys knew this, but in between services, we opened up for 4 more numbers in your groups. You probably didn't know that, but we automatically open up for 4 extra spaces because the first service took the spot. So
I mean, we have 645 chairs we can give them to put in their houses.
They're,
like,
fine.
You know, the clock's know out, 60 people.
But we had our tech department.
Everybody's on their phones right now, by the way.
Yeah, no, they're just like, I want to get
no
in.
No one's listening to anything. It's just like, okay, I'm going
to. We opened up 4 extra spots to those who were full. So just, I would need you to know that. Amen. High five. But honestly, we are excited about, we are so excited about where the level is of excitement already. But this is what I'm pumped about, to be honest. I'm pumped about where we're at a year from now, of the testimonies of a journal of truly what God has done in your life in a year. Of where you're at now compared to where you're at 1 year from now, because you have entrusted these leaders like we trust these leaders, and you've walked into a place to be in their home that you will laugh so much, and you will shed tears, and you will hurt for one another. What does the Bible say? Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Let's just do that. But in a group that just, you know, when you're done with this year and you commit to a year, you make it a priority for a year, you walk out going, my life is different. My life is different. And we're in a better place. And they will walk us through difficult seasons. They will walk us through the joys of life. And that's what these guys are committed to doing. And it's something beautiful. It's something so beautiful to watch and see. But I want to do this, man. It's time to pray. I want to pray for our leaders as they are committing so much for you. And as they have committed to this thing to be a priority for themselves, as well as you're committing this thing to be a priority for yourself. They are in prep mode. They're in house prep mode. It's amazing what's happening. But if we could just extend your hands towards them. If you are comfortable with that, please extend your hands towards them as we just pray over these leaders. Come on. Father, we just are so amazed. And we thank you for every leader on stage. Father, we thank you just for the reality of what's going to take place in their homes, God. How special that is that you have provided space and you have provided a place in every one of their homes to host such a deal, such as a LC group in their home. And Father, I'm asking that you would bless the leaders, guide them and direct them and encourage them and build them, Father. Bless their marriages as they walk in this thing together, God. And I just thank you for every leader. I ask that you give them creativity. Father, I ask that you would protect them, Father, put a protection around their home, put a protection around their marriage, God, and direct their children as their children walk through this as well. And Father, every person that finds himself in their group, that God, they would fall in love with these people and they would care for these people and encourage these people and take the hits for these people and lead every person in their group with courage and with grace and would love them and care for them through every season of their life. The joys and the sorrows, God, that I pray over every one of these leaders as they prepare, as they get excited about this. I'm asking that you bless them for their time. And Father, I ask that you would move, that even the leaders would gain so much from this, God, that they would grow in their faith and they dare not be the same at the end of this year as they have led. So I'm asking that you bless them and that you would protect them in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. Come on, last thing is this. Amen. We got to bounce. Last thing is this. Gentlemen, if you want to come to game day, 1:00, good times. It's going to be amazing. Next week, we start a new series called The Art of Deception. The Art of Deception. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to be amazing. I need you to do this something. Invite somebody because we're going to get juicy, man. It's going to get juicy in a sense where I'm pumped about it. It might get messy for some because we're going to go into today's day and the things that are happening today and know that we have a very real enemy in Satan who hates you and he hates me and he hates church and he hates people made in God's image. And he's going after so many different things. And he's such an incredible, beautiful artist that he paints such a picture that's a lie and so many people are buying into it. And as your pastor, man, we got to straighten some things out and talk about some things just so that this church can walk in a place of clarity of events that are taking place today. And I'm excited about this. I'm pumped about this. I'm praying about this. I've got a team specifically covering me and my house in prayer because this is so real and so serious and the enemy hates it. But I need you here and I need you to commit to it. It's going to be over a month in this series, The Art of Deception. Man, the enemy throws up a bunch of smoke and mirrors and people buy into it. And all he cares about is that you never come to Christ. All he cares about is you never have an eternal home with Jesus, but yet you will have an eternal home with him. And he's leading so many people astray. And truth is what sets people free. So please invite somebody, man. Get some people here for this series because it's going to get wild here, man. We're going to get juiced up. I'm pumped about it, but it's just going to get real. It's going to get real. And it's our responsibility to be real about topics today and the season that we are in. Come on. Amen. God bless you. Come on. See you guys later. See you next week. Amen. Amen.